If you would, turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter.
Dwight?
What?
Jacob missed it earlier, but you would like everybody to pray about.
Jacob's still having problems with his, I guess, his molars, and it's very, very sensitive to him, and we'd like to include him in our prayers. So, Jacob, you are in our prayers, my brother, for your jaw, teeth, and your mouth, brother. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you very well know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Well, that doesn't make any sense if I start there, so I've got to back up and just read to you what we went over last Sunday, the latter part of it, to tie this all in together. So give me a little bit of leeway by going back to chapter 4, verse 13. Paul writes to the people in Thessalonica, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we are to tell you, we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep." Now, remember, in this allegory, sleep means death, okay? They've not fallen asleep. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven in a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet's call of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, we who are alive and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers," he goes on. Remember, they had no title chapters in between. We keep on flowing. "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you very well know that that day the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. And while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, they will not escape." Dear Lord, I'm sure there are many of us who at times have wondered about your return, your second coming, the loss of loved ones, what the future will be. Paul tells us you've got it under control. So let us surrender those fears and doubts. For if you can create this world and sustain it, you can come back to get your children the way you wish. We have many friends who are ill, who need strength, who need recovery, who have pains and aches and don't understand. We've got some in the hospital now and others recovering. Bless them. Be with our military and our missionaries who are around this world to spread peace and to spread the gospel as well. Those who care for us, our first responders, and those who are in the hospitals, the nurses, our teachers, all those who work for us here, give them your strength. And let us be ever vigilant soldiers for the Lord, that when the Lord comes back to gain his children, we will be ready. Guide the speaker and give him the right words this day, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. When I was in the 6th grade, for whatever reason, I do not know, my dad decided he was going to take the 4 children and my mother on a trip to Colorado. I couldn't spell Colorado. I could find it on a map, but they didn't know even why he even wanted to do that. But that's what he wanted to do. So on a certain Friday night, he was supposed to bring home a pickup truck with a camper on it that he borrowed both parts. Now, you're 12 years old, living on a farm, and the smallest thing you've ever been in is in a chicken coop. And here rolls up a truck with about an 8-foot camper on the back of it. 6-foot truck, 8-foot camper. So it's going like this the whole time. And you're saying, what are we doing here? The worst thing was, my father was never on time. So from 3 o'clock on, one of us, 4 children, stood at the door waiting for a red pickup truck to come down the road saying, is it here yet? Is it here yet? Is it here yet? And my grandmother comes up with this great, great saying. Watched water never boils. You heard that before?
Yes.
I'm still looking out the window. But anticipation of a good thing. There have been people over the generations who waited and wondered when Christ was coming back. Even in the second book of Thessalonians, he will talk again about that. What he's saying is, don't fret the small stuff. I created the world. God and I created the world. The Father and I created the world. Did he not say, let us, plural, make man, plural, in our image, plural? Christ was there from the beginning. Why should we think if he can control the world, if he can create the world, he can sustain us and he'll be back to get us when he's good and ready? But even in the time of the Apostle Paul, who was the generation of Jesus, this book was written about 51 to 55 A.D. Christ had only been resurrected 20 years. Most of us can remember some days 20 years ago. Not yesterday, but 20 years ago. So he's saying, I've got it all worked out. God is going to be in control. Let us not worry about what we can't fix. But go on and keep on doing the right thing. And with that, a lot of times, we can let go and go on and do the important things. While people are, oh, don't back up. For you know very well the day the Lord will come is like a thief in the night. You're not ready for it. You're not expected. At nighttime, you're asleep in bed. Somebody can sneak in and take something. He says, it's going to be a quiet. Those who've been in law enforcement have heard about nighttime break-ins. People are startled. Things happen too fast for them. People are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, like labor pains on a pregnant woman. Now, folks, I have experienced that twice. The three words you do not want to hear in the middle of the night. Four words you don't hear in the middle of the night. I think my water broke. Can't you do that in the daytime, ladies? I mean, really? It's very difficult to wake up. It just happens. I have no control over it, she says. Oh, and you're laughing too hard. It must have happened to you, too. But like a thief of the night, the pregnant woman, they will not escape it. It's going to happen to people that aren't ready. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. Today we have planned deliveries. They tell me more than 20% of all deliveries in the maternity wards. And the reason I know this is I had 6 maternity nurses in my last church, and 5 baby nurses. They informed me about stuff I didn't need to know. And I was glad the children were already born, or it may have scared me to do it again. I don't know. But it just happens. And you got to be ready. Oh, I was going to say, they said over 20% of all the pregnancies at that time were, the births were scheduled. We're going to do a cesarean a certain day, be ready for it. We're going to give you that shot that hurries things up, get ready for it. So they didn't know about it. But that at the time of Jesus, they didn't do that. Jesus had the baby when the baby was ready to be had. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so this day should, and I want to put the word in darkness, not, should not surprise you like a thief does. You're prepared. You know that Jesus is coming back, and whether you are awake or asleep in the night, you're prepared for it. And it's not a shock. We don't want shocks. We don't want surprises. And it won't be that way for those who are ready for Jesus to come. Now, for those who are already dead or asleep in the Lord, Paul had said earlier in the chapter before that, he's going to come and get you. He's going to wake you out of that sleep. If the sea has you, the sea will give up the dead. If the earth has you, the earth will give up the dead. Those kind of things are already worked out by God. And that's good news for us. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. We're not creatures of the darkness. My grandmother taught my daddy, and he passed it on to me, nothing good happens after dark. That's when people get into trouble. And my grandmother said the word, mischief. I don't know what mischief means, but you don't want to be doing mischief around my grandmother. Did not work. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. And I like to add the word aware and prepared for it. Now, Paul had lost friends during his ministry. Even we lost the first apostle. The apostle James was cut asunder by Herod in his evil. And he knew people who died serving God. And that's okay, Paul said. He knew because God had us and has our souls. and we worry about things we can't fix, then fix it. Because we can fix anything as long as we serve God and believe in Him. And as long as we don't deny the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the only unforgivable sins. I've had people come to me and say, "Preacher, I can't go to heaven." I said, "Why is that?" "Because I've sinned in my life." "Well, except for Jesus, who hasn't?" As Joe said, the Apostle Paul, "I'm the chief of all sinners." But God forgives through the blood of Jesus. And because of that, we have hope. And it doesn't matter if you're 12 or 22 or 100, we should have hope because He gives it to us. "For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But those who belong to the day, let us be sober. Putting on faith and love is a breastplate, and the hope of salvation is a helmet, being armored and ready." See, the work's been done. Joe mentioned it during the offering time. The work's been done. The price has been paid. All we've got to do is believe and accept it and continue to reach out for His help and pray and serve and take care of others and allow others to be a part of taking care of us as well. It's very simple, yet it's complicated. You know why it's complicated? You know why it's complicated? I'm working in a building. Next door to us, there's a place called Mindscape. And you go in, four or five people, and you pay a big old chunk of money. And they lock you in a room. I mean, you are locked in a room. And there are clues, 8 to 12 clues. And when you finish that task or that clue, you finally find out where the key is and get out. Or you wait the hour that they give you. If you don't get out, they unlock the door for you, and you're embarrassed as you walk away. Our doors are unlocked already. For His name was Jesus. We'll talk about Him in our songs. Carolyn did that beautiful song she gave us. I love when a woman from Ohio sings country. It just tears me up. Country. Aren't you from Ohio? I love it when a woman from Indiana sings country. They're both north of Ohio, the Indiana, the Ohio River. It's out of my sight. Well, I really had something going to then, Carolyn. And we're going to talk about the baby. And we've got the manger scene back there. And you're going to sing, "Oh, Holy Night." And but you know what? It ain't the birth of that baby that gets us to heaven. It's the teaching of that baby when he becomes an adult. It's the life that he lived, the miracles he worked, and the sacrifice he made when he let those Romans, controlled by the Jews, take him and beat him and harm him and murder him. And his Father resurrected him. That's what gets us into heaven. After we've accepted that, the back of your bulletin is a great example of what is required for our salvation. And when you accept Christ is your Savior, when you're baptized with Him in the watery grave of baptism, then the debt is paid. And that's so important that we understand that all we have to do is the acceptance and follow through very few things. We had a preacher, we've had him here twice. He's from Belize. He's got the entire 5th and 6th chapter of Matthew memorized. He can give you the whole Sermon on the Mount. If I had to learn the Sermon on the Mount to get to heaven, I'd have to be about 140 years before that happened. It could take me a lot of studying. It'd be sort of like Barney Fife giving the preamble of the Constitution. You've seen that show. Christ done paid those deeds for us. He's done worked it out. All we got to do, trust and obey. God did not appoint us to suffer the wrath, but to receive salvation through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Creator doesn't want bad things to happen to us. But He did tell us there is a relationship on how well we follow His commands. The rules are there. We just have to accept and obey them. And no one's left out unless they choose to be left out. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to add in there my little bit of part. And only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many cans of food you collect. It doesn't matter how many boxes you send to Salvation Army or to our Franklin Graham. It doesn't matter how much blood you donate. None of those things matter if you do not have Jesus on your side. Because those are just physical things, and Jesus took care of the physical things. It's a spiritual relationship with Him we need to have. He died for us, that whether we're awake or asleep, may I put it, whether we're alive or dead. Because most of the people have already lived and died. And He doesn't want us to think that we've lost them, but they'll get there first. Awake or asleep, we may live together with Him, meaning Jesus. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just in fact as you are doing. I personally believe that this congregation, this is a strange church. No, please. Let me get the rest of it out. This is a fluid church. There's probably not six or eight of you all that are still here that were full-time attenders when Becky and I got here 14 and a half years ago. We've built. We've buried some. Some have moved back to home with their family. Some have gotten too old or too sick or ill to come back. We have new faces today, which I'm glad to see. And you are so lucky because today is food day. And there's pie over there. But we flow. But yet I see this church as one of the most loving and helping and concerned churches I've ever seen, been in, preached for. They, if you're here today and did not have somebody shake your hand and ask you where you're from and what whether we're glad to have you, let me know. Because I would think there'd be very few. And that's the way it should be. And we're giving and caring and sharing and loving one another. That's why we have the dinners. We can all go out to eat. But we have the dinner so you can sit and talk to somebody new and learn about them. And share your life experiences with their life experiences. That's so important as people. He goes on to say, now he's talking about his helpers that are with him, Timothy and Silas. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who are hardworking among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Oh, wait a minute here. They're hardworking. That's good. They care for you. That's prayer and help. And admonish you? Does anybody like to be fussed at? Seriously. Do you like to be fussed at? Four of the most hated words in the English language. Are you ready for this one? I told you so. Is that not true? That's reminding us of our failure and their superiority. I just told you so. We don't like to be admonished. Often that happens for our own good. We were coming back from here yesterday, driving down 75. Pew! I said, there's a Porsche that's in a hurry, but he's not going as fast as he wants to or can. I mean, pew! Like blue flames coming out of the, you know, that kind of stuff. About a mile and a half down the road, I saw a blue flame, but it was a light. And guess who was pulled over? Mr. Porsche. I just waved. 70's fine with us. Y'all have a good time. I think he lost some time there talking to the officer of the law. Sometimes you got to say, hey, mister, don't you know you could kill somebody on this road driving that fast and that stupid? Joe, you never told anybody that when you was police officer, were you? Oh, don't you? Mike, did you ever tell anybody this was for your own good? Never did, huh? Here's your ticket and get on out of town. Okay. We don't like to be admonished, but sometimes we need it for our own good. Hold them. Hold those who admonish and love you in the highest regard in love because of their work. Isn't that a good thing? That we should appreciate what others do for us? And therefore, if we like what others do for us, why cannot we not be helpful to them as well? I think that's so important. Live in peace with each other. Well, there you go. Now, I'm looking around, and I'm not the youngest one in here. But several of y'all can remember the 60s. Can you remember the 60s? The peace movements. And I want to teach the world to sing and drink a Coca-Cola or something like that. I don't know. And we've gone through that love. The love beads. Remember that? That love beads and all that stuff. Peace is good. And we would all have had peace if it hadn't been for Satan coming in and tempting and getting Adam and Eve to sin. And often the hardships we have brought upon ourselves. We should not be that way. We should be cooperative and peaceful and loving and caring. Now, Dwight, are you saying that we should not participate in armed combat and war? Dwight did not say that. Dwight does not believe in that. One of the men the closest in God's heart was David himself. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. David was a warrior for the Lord. And when it comes time for that, like December the 7th, 1941, September the 11th, 2001, when those things happen, we need to stand and defend our armed police officers. Those kind of people who make our life safe, that is good, that is required, and that is godly. But why should we go looking for trouble? Was it not? Jesus said, if a man strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. We should try to live in peace as much as we can, but do diligence in trying to help others in the time of their needs. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn... Oh, gosh, no, he's meddling now. First says, live in peace with each other. Then he says, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened. See, they were tired of waiting. Because as soon as they heard that Jesus was coming back, they were ready for him right then. And some of them just said, I'm going to sit down on the side of this hill, and I'm going to wait till he comes back. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to perform. People have to take care of me because that's the way you do it. And they were idle. Idle mind is the devil's workplace, is that what it's called, or workshop? And you just know that a lot of the trouble we have with people today is because they're bored and they're just looking for something to do. I think we need to be careful of that. He says, idle, disruptive. If you were a school teacher, have you ever been around a group of people? Sometimes people just want to be aggravating and disrupt the peace. Cause trouble. Your class clowns or your class smart alecks or your class bullies. My sister's grandchild school called her daughter and her both about a month ago. Said your son's threatening suicide. He was being bullied at school. And that was going to be his way out at 11 years old. That's when disruptive people should be stopped. And he needs to learn his value. You know what they were telling him? They were talking to him and me both. You're short and you're fat. And they bullied him that way. Some people are sensitive to that. I just eat more to get over it. Get rid of the idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. You've met friends that need to be picked up a little bit, lifted up, supported. A good song, a good story. Time together, that's disheartening. Be with them, because at times we've all been down in the dumps, if you like that 1970s term. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong. That's a tough one, particularly in America, because we like to get our justice. If somebody, and I will say this word wrong probably, somebody disks us, if they disk you, I've got to get back. And if somebody brings a knife to fight, we bring a gun, that type of thing. We need to be careful. Not pay back, because usually the one that does it back gets in more trouble than the one that did it the first time. Always strive to do what is good to each other and for everybody else. Each other means the other Christians. Help each other, Christian, but to go to others that are in need. Maybe by doing that, you can encourage them and show them there is a better way than what you are getting involved with. Rejoice always. Are you happy? If not, why? Can you not find at least one thing? Folks, it ain't snowing down here. I can be happy just on that. I mean, seriously, you all think I'm joking. I hate cold weather. I've worn short-legged breeches every day since May the 22nd, 2005, since I've got here. I wear short-legged breeches except for church. I like this weather. I mean, I can be happy just on that, but let alone all the friends we have here and the people and the opportunities we get to do and to serve. These are great times. Pray continually. God listens. Our spouse maybe not always. Our children hardly ever. Our bosses never ever. But God listens. Pray continually. That's what a prayer is, a conversation with God. And he hears it. He's promised he has. For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Paul says this is what God wants through Jesus. We go on to verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. Have you ever had a really good idea or a really good thought, or you're really happy about something? Somebody says, that's not a big deal. Don't worry about that. Then you walk around like your lower lip was stepped on with golf shoes. You get all tore up and twangled up and everything like that. I made that word twangled up, but you can use it. Do not quench the spirit. If God puts happiness in your heart, if God puts loving in your heart, if God puts sharing in your heart, then go with it. Not sharing like you take what they got for you, but I mean for what you got for them, okay? Do not treat prophecies with contempt. We've been through the book of Isaiah. Now we're going through on Wednesday at 11 o'clock hour, the book of Jeremiah. Those are prophecies of what's going to happen. And we saw a lot of them in the manhood and life of Jesus Christ, including his birth, in Isaiah. So listen to the prophecies. But test everything. We have far too many people who have ganged around ne'er-do-wells or good-talking people. Can I say the word hell-bop? Can I say the word drinking the Kool-Aid with the Jim Jones thing? And cults this and cults that because they decide to listen to somebody that tickled their ears without any background on them whatsoever. I got an email Friday that told me they were from the Social Security Department, and if I didn't send them my Social Security number to check it and verify it, and my home address, and my bank routing number, then they would end up taking all the money I got. How are they going to find it? Because I didn't send the bank number. And then they were going to come and arrest me. Delete. Real quick. Test them. Hold on what is good. Reject every kind of evil. That's what we're to do. And then the goodbyes. May God himself, now that's reaching pretty high when you say that. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May he bless you in all ways. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless when? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were sinners. It was washed away by the blood of Jesus. And we're blameless. Anyone who calls you is faithful, and he will do that. Excuse me, I'll say it again. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do that. That means God. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet each other. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. Okay, I've got a little problem with that. I prefer a holy handshake or a knuckle bust. You know, that's a little better. I mean, we used to be one cuppers in communion. Until the men had the beard and tobacco juice flowing down it, and tuberculosis came around, you're saying ooh and ah, but it's a fact. So we modify that just a little bit. Greet each other with a holy kiss. A good kind exchange would be my preference. Teenage boys doesn't like that. I charge you therefore before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And so it's been read to you. And now we know his plan. And all we got to do is say, next, it's me. God is good. Our hand of invitation, the decision, I actually wrote it down, Carolyn, 486. I hope it's the same one you got. There you are. Stand with me as we sing hymn number 486, our hymn of decision.
The cross upon which Jesus died, it's a shelter in which we can hide, and his grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is his fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.